How do you do? Jen and Cam feel it would be unkind to present this program without a friendly word of warning. We are about to unfold our true crime podcast, a podcast of lifelong friends who seek to examine crimes which were committed without reckoning upon God. The discussion will be frank, and the subject matter will be of a grim and violent nature. I think it will thrill you. It might even horrify you. So, if there are young children listening, or if you feel unwilling to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to... Well, we've warned you.
Jen.
Hey, Cam, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Are you doing really great or just great or kind of great or, you know?
I'm probably lying. No, I'm not. No, I'm doing well. No, it's okay. Things of getting my kids in band camp, and she absolutely loves it.
I think that is the cutest.
It is. It's adorable. She's...
This one time at band camp.
Yeah, I mean, she just... She likes to complain about it, but you can tell that she really likes it. You know, it's just fun. And in case people don't know, this is my very introverted daughter. She's a teenager, so she doesn't come out of her room much, but she like really doesn't come out of her room. So her doing anything like this is just fantastic.
Amazing.
I love it. It is. It's great.
I love it.
Yeah. She's making all new friends, and I'm beside myself with joy. It's wonderful.
I'm telling you.
How about you?
I'm good. I go back to school in a week and 3 days, but who's counting?
Nobody.
That's who. I'm counting.
It'll be fun.
It'll be okay. It's going to be different again this year, which I'm really ready for normal, but that's not going to be happening
This might be the new normal.
There you go. Might not ever have normal again. A different kind of normal, if you will.
Instead of talking about all the crap that's going on in the world, why don't we talk about some murder stuff that's already happened?
Do you have something for us? I do. And, you know, things that happen in Missouri are near and dear in my heart only because we're from Missouri. So today we are going to go to a small little town. And ironically, I've never heard of this town. And a couple weeks ago, my stepmom was visiting and she was telling me that her son is working construction in this town. And I was like, I've never heard of that town. Well, it's tiny. That's why. However, when I came across this, it was just weird. It was ironic since I've never heard of it. You know, 36 years old. And I thought it was meant to be that I needed to cover this case. So awesome. Here we go. It is September 24th, 2015, when David Phelps, who goes by the name Trey, failed to show up to work. The 26-year-old worked on a boat and was a very dependable employee who would always show up for work. So when he didn't call and didn't show up, his boss called his grandfather to see if perhaps Trey decided to take the day off and maybe forgot to tell the boss or perhaps he was sick. The grandfather knew that this was not normal for his grandson, so he said, you know, I'll drive over and check on Trey. As the man was approaching the house, he could see a police car and a man lying on the ground in front of his house on Swan Lake Drive. The man would turn out to be Trey Phelps.
Oof.
This is one of those stories where, I mean, there's just evil, and then this is just senseless evil. Pure, that's it. Here we go. David L. Trey Phelps was born in Kennett, Missouri on February 22nd, 1989 to parents David L. Phelps Jr. and Kathy Leanne Tenton Skelton. Trey went on to graduate from Caruthersville High School in 2007, and he actually went to the police academy and he graduated in 2010, but instead of being a police officer, he was employed by a company named Wepfer Marine of Caruthersville. Trey was a very talented musician, and you can even find some of his talent on YouTube today, where he plays guitar and sings. He had recently won custody, or joint custody, shall I say, of his adorable son, Noah, with whom he shared with his ex-wife, Heather. As the local sheriff arrives on the scene, it's clear that they're going to need help. After all, the small town of Haytai doesn't have many homicides. In fact, the population in 2010 was only 2,939, so almost 3,000. At this point, they decide to call in the Missouri State Highway Patrol for assistance. Highway Patrol Sergeant Bud Cooper has worked in southern Missouri all of his law enforcement career. As Cooper arrived, the crime scene was still being processed and Trey's body was still on the driveway. It is apparent that there are wounds, but they're not really sure what the cause of death is at this point. When the coroner arrives, he discovers multiple bruises on Trey's body. As they continue to look around, they notice dents in his car. Yet, remember, his body was lying next to his car in the driveway. It's becoming clear that someone accosted Trey by beating him, and a few of the hits missed Trey and actually went into his car. Hence the dents in his car. Inside the home was Trey's fiance, Madison. Trey's grandfather wanted to be the one to tell her that Trey had been killed just outside their home. Now, it's still really early, and Madison was in bed when she answered the door, unaware of what had just occurred. He also had to be the one to place the grim phone call to Trey's mother and tell her that her son had been murdered.
That's got to be hard, man.
The coroner's report came back and said that Trey had been killed with trauma to his head and believed the weapon was an aluminum baseball bat or something similar. It was also believed that he was murdered sometime between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. prior to leaving for work. The heinous method indicated that the killing was personal rather than just a random act. Not to mention nothing was taken.
Nothing at all was taken?
No. Murdered in his driveway. As police dive in, they start in the inner circle and work their way out as they usually do. Madison was quickly eliminated as being responsible. Madison was at home during the time the attack took place, but she heard nothing. She had said she was a hard sleeper, and that morning Trey woke her up, said, "I'm leaving, love you," and left. The next person to focus on was Trey's ex-wife, Heather. Heather and Trey shared a son together named Noah. And on the morning of the murder, Noah was not with Trey and Madison, but with Heather. Police call Heather down to the station. Heather answers their questions and seems genuinely upset to hear about Trey, but maintains that she was not involved. However, she did make what I would consider, I think most people would consider, an odd statement about not receiving child support any longer since Trey is now dead. But I guess in shock, sometimes you make statements as maybe you just say things out loud as things are, I don't know why people do what they do or say what they say. Heather answers their questions and she seems genuinely upset to hear about Trey, but maintains she was not involved. However, she did make what I would consider, and I gotta be honest, I think most people would consider an odd statement about that she would not be receiving child support any longer from Trey now that he's dead.
Oh, her first thought was money.
Yes. But I guess maybe you're processing out loud and that wouldn't be
the first. Well, there goes my child. Yeah. Now, how am I going to come up with child support? That kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
Bizarre, but okay. Another suspect is brought in. Madison had mentioned to police officers that there was a man that had knocked on their door offering to do some handiwork or yard work. He said he'd rake leaves, paint, anything they wanted. But something about him gave Madison the heebie-jeebies. My word, not hers. Mm-hmm. A neighbor of theirs told officers that she had seen the man in and around the area that day, the day that Trey was murdered. Officers need to find this man and question him to see where he was and or if he knew anything. Officers locate the man, who goes by the name of Billy, and it seems Billy has a record for robbery.
Huh.
However, Billy has a solid alibi as he was with his mother that day. He is quickly cleared. Rumors start to fly as they always do, but especially in such a small town where everyone knows everyone and everyone's business. We grew up in a town like that. Hey, did you hear about Darlene?
And we're still kind of in a town like that.
We are.
It's a bigger town and we just don't
socialize with people. So it makes it all worth it.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One floated to the top, and that was a man by the name of Bert Ellison, the boyfriend, the current boyfriend, shall I say, of Heather. Bert, who is from Bradford, Tennessee, had started dating Heather, and the pair seemed to be pretty serious. Police were alerted that Bert made an ominous status on his social media. Police needed to check this guy out and see if he had an alibi for the day Trey was killed. Police Chief Tony Jones knows Bert. In fact, he has known him since both of them were much, much younger. And he also knows that Bert was a family friend of Trey's family before dating Heather. He was sure that Bert could never have been capable of such a heinous act. But, you know, they have to cross their T's and dot their I's, so Bert is picked up and he's brought into the station. First question was, did Bert know that Trey had been murdered? Now, remember, he's a friend of the family and has been for a long time. Trey's family, that is. Bert didn't ask what happened or even seemed upset that a murder had occurred. Red flag. Ding, 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 ding. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Beep, beep. Alert. Bert did allow officers to search his social media as well as his phone. Bert tells officers that, you know, I've never been to Trey and Madison's house. I know where it is, but I've never been there. Now, again, I'm no detective here, Jen, but why then does Bert have photos on his phone of Trey's house? Huh. If he's never been there, why would he have photos of Trey's house?
I have no idea. It looks suspicious.
Suspicious.
Very sus, as the kids would say.
Bert is in full denial mode. He is not really answering any questions, but he's adamant that he did not kill Trey. Now, what happens next is, I think, pretty genius, and I think this works really well in a small town. Let's put it that way. Trey's mom, Kathy, and Trey's dad talk to authorities, and they have an idea. Trey's dad has been friends with Bert for a long time, and they are going to make a video plea to him, directly to him, in the hopes he will crack and admit if he had any involvement in Trey's murder, because they want their grandbaby to know what happened to his father, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure they would like to know, too.
And again, like a small town, this kind of cracked me up. I'm watching the interrogation or interview at this point, I guess. And I was like, wait, something's off. Something's off. And then I realized, oh, wait, it's a small police station, small town. He's just in an office. Like, he's like, here, buddy, you can have my desk. It's like an office. There's like an open window. There's like a little coffee pot. It was not an interrogation room at all. That just kind of cracked me up, is all. Bert's only word after the video in which he watched these people that he has known for a long time plead with him to come clean if he knows something about Trey. And the only thing he says after watching the video is damn. And he rubs his face, kind of looking
damn,
down.
Like damn. The curse word damn?
Correct. Okay. Like damn. Pretty rough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing somebody that you've known for a long time directly pleading with you, please let us know what happened to our son.
Mm-hmm.
Bert knows something, and the officers knew that. That's the exact reason that they did this little video thing. And they know he's also about to break. Officers are telling him that if he didn't do it, they believe he knows something. And just like that, yep, bam. Bert tells them, I didn't do it, but you're going to need to talk to some other people. Yikes, like I got chills. I was like, whoa. He gives up the name Chester. Chester, you see, is Heather's dad. So that would be Trey's ex-father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Police bring Chester into the station. Chester informs police he woke up that morning around 6:30 a.m. and his wife, Rhonda, took him to work that morning. Chester worked for the school district as a bus driver. And police are able to pull video and see that Chester did, in fact, arrive at work as he had stated. Chester did not have a police record. However, Rhonda did. This kind of cracks me up again. It's very, let's just put it that way. Seems Rhonda had a little anger problem, Jen. What better way to work out your frustration with the family member than to attack him with a fork?
Oh, nice.
Right?
That Merry wasn't Christmas. All. Christmas, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't all. It seems that police discovered when searching through Chester's phone that all the calls and text made on the morning that Trey was murdered had been deleted. That's looking a little not good for you, Chester,
little
my friend.
Sus. Nope.
Little sus.
Little sus.
Now, what happens next is, again, so small town. Police contact a nearby convenience store owner named Tim Gardner, who owns, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
The store. Yep, that's what it's called, the store.
It's actually kind of a genius name, I think.
I think it's kind of like our true crime podcast now, isn't it?
You've got to go to the store.
Yeah. But you call it what it is, right?
It is, yeah.
So they asked him to look over his convenience store video and see if any cars drive past the store near the time of the murder. Now, again, this is super small town, Main Street, one big street. This is a street you have to pass versus, could you imagine this happening in downtown St. Louis? No. Tim pulls the video. It doesn't take him long until, voila, he sees a black car drive past, just like the black car that Rhonda and Chester own. Huh. The car is driving past the store between 5:30 and 5:50 a.m. Inside the car, you are able to make out that there are two or three people in it. Well, that's a little weird. Now, Rhonda claims she has no idea who is in her car that morning. That's her car, and it's got people in it driving past the store, but she has no idea who it is.
Huh.
Happens all the time to me, Jen. People drive in my car, and I have no idea who it is, nor that they have my car. I bet it happens to people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Here comes the pressure. With all three of them in the police station, officers decide to pit them against each other. Because, you know, one of them is bound to crack. Chester tells officers that he beat up Trey, but he had no idea that he was dead, but that he had probably just broke a bone. That's what Chester's thinking at this point. Chester claims...
It's just a flesh wound.
Just a flesh wound. Chester claims that on that morning, he thought that they were going over to simply scare Trey. They didn't mean to hurt him or even kill him. Mm-hmm. So officers then go in to Bert, who's, you know, in the next room, and they tell Bert that Chester told them that Bert is the one that killed Trey and that Chester drove Bert there, killed him, and then Chester picked him back up and went home. So they're playing them against each other. Bert is livid, swearing. He had nothing to do with Trey's death, and Chester's a two-bit liar. In fact, Bert claims that Chester is making this all up, and after all he did was love and want to marry his daughter, Heather. Right? Here it comes. Mm-hmm. You can't make this stuff up. Rhonda is still claiming she has no idea about any of this, and she doesn't even know who's in her car. And so she was not involved. She did not drop either Bert or Chester or both of them off at Trey's house. Wasn't her. All right, Shaggy. Here comes our friend, the store owner, Tim Gardner, who had a customer in his store, and he overheard a rather interesting conversation between Heather and one of Heather's friends. During the chat, Heather said something to the effect that Trey wanted full custody of Noah, and Heather was not going to let that happen, and he would be dead before she would ever let that happen, meaning Trey. Oh, Heather, you can't talk like this in small town, because come on
you
now.
You can't.
Shouldn't be thinking this either.
Well,
at this point,
it's normal to think that, but not to.
I wouldn't be thinking it either. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you would. I know you. You would. I would be. But it would never be anything that would ever bring to fruition.
If
you just say that out of anger and hurt, but you would never say that as you mean it. Don't you think?
Oh, totally. I was just going to say, and Trey was a fantastic father, by all accounts. So there's no reason why she should not want to share custody with him. Could be worse, Heather. Seriously. This time, officers know that they need to bring Heather back into the station, as they have quite a few questions for her. Now, at first, Heather was crying and distraught, claiming she had no idea who did this, and she had nothing to do with any of this. In fact, Heather seems to be pointing the finger at her dad. Now, that all sounds logical, until... and you can't make this up either. A couple of family members decide they're going to drive on in to the police and have a little visit. And, you know, they actually have quite a different account of what happened. They tell police that Heather was the driver of the car that morning, and her passengers were none other than Bert and Chester. Heather drove them over to kill Trey. Last night, I needed to find some time to relax for myself. I decided to light my birthday candle, and boy, did it smell good.
Oh, I love this candle so much. The fragrance is everything, and also the wax, it's a soy and coconut blend wax, so it not only does it burn clean, but it burns for over 60 hours.
Starting with your birthdate, Birthdate Co. creates unforgettable products that are one-of-a-kind treasures that make the perfect gift to yourself or a loved one.
Each candle is made to order based on someone's birth date, and it makes the perfect gift. It's inspired by astrology, tarot, and numerology. Plus, each candle comes with a custom personality reading that's scarily accurate.
It really is right on the money. My birth date, October 16th, it says that I'm going to choose a career in which I manage a team. I'm a high school teacher. It also says that I would have an interest in social justice or the law. And look at us in our true crime podcast.
So go see why over 8,000 people have given Birthdate Candles a 5-star review. And our listeners get a special discount. You can take 15% off your order of $50 or more by going to birthdate.co/OTCP.
Go ahead and treat yourself or a friend. You won't regret it. Take 15% off your order of $50 or more by going to birthdate.co/OTCP.
And thank you, Birthdate Co., for sponsoring this episode.
...26-year-old Heather Cummings was arrested for the first-degree murder in the death of Trey Phelps. At this point, she's not the only one, and more of them are going to fall. On November 9th, the police arrest Heather's mother, Rhonda, and they claim that Rhonda picked up Chester immediately after the murder. That's when she took him to work, remember? And Rhonda and Chester, before going to work, went over to another man's house by the name of Michael J. Hemingway. Now, Hemingway said that Chester came to his house, gave him a bag, and told him to get rid of it. This was on the morning Trey was killed, prior to going to work. On October 7th, 2015, the police arrest Michael J. Hemingway and charge him with a felony offense of tampering with physical evidence. Hemingway admitted to his role in the crime, all of it. Now, as this little motley crew is sitting in jail, Chester, maybe he has a change of heart, or maybe he thinks he's going to do something nice for his family. But he writes a letter to authorities. Chester tells them that he, and he alone, is the one responsible for the death of Trey Phelps. And his wife Rhonda, daughter Heather, and Bert are all innocent. Police aren't buying it. Not to mention we have video of you in the car, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
Chester Cummings was sentenced to life in prison. Rhonda Cummings received 4 years, that's it, in prison for hindering prosecution. Heather Cummings received 15 years in prison for conspiracy in the first-degree murder of Trey Phelps. Bert Ellison received a 5-year prison sentence for conspiracy to murder. All of these sentences were reached via plea agreements. Of course they were. There was not one single trial. Little cutie pie Noah was adopted by Trey's mother, Kathy, and Trey's stepfather. His mother, Heather, nor any of the family on her side are allowed to ever see Noah again.
Wow. They lost everything.
That's just ridiculous. It's... Trey, he's cute. He just looks like a good old Missouri boy. Like, I watched some of his YouTube videos and stuff. And I mean, 26. He's a baby.
Did it ever come out on why she was so angry with him? Or
she
why?
Didn't want to share custody with him. She did not
that
want him
it.
To.
That was it. That was just
that. That was it.
There was nothing.
Nope. I think there was mumblings that he was, you know, he was going to marry Madison. And I think there were rumblings that he might go and try to fight for full custody. And so she was trying to prevent that from ever happening, which I don't.
Well, guess what? She doesn't have full custody now.
She's got nothing.
She doesn't even have visitor. I mean, she probably can't even visit him.
Mm-mm. They're not allowed to by court order.
No, I mean, that's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that
good job?
Pitiful?
She's.
But then to get her whole family in on it, I don't.
That's crazy.
And could you imagine? No, you couldn't because you're a normal person. killing somebody between 5:30 and 6:30 in the morning, and then your husband comes and gets you and takes you to work, and you just go about your day? What? How does that even happen?
No, that's not in my mindset at all. Mindset. Not at all. I don't even get the wanting to kill somebody just for because they want full custody. That's not even true that it's going to happen. I can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. And I mean,
there's other reasons to kill people. Don't, you know, they come after your kid, they hurt your kid. But not for that. No, I'm not saying that there's reason to kill. Don't kill anybody.
I know what you
mean. Just trying to tell everybody I'm not.
This is.
There's reasons why you want
senseless. That's what I said earlier.
Right.
Senseless
it's
murder.
Stupid. It's a.
And we know how the justice system works. Unless Heather was really an unfit mother, no court would give Trey full custody.
No.
And
they lean towards mothers. I mean.
And they just had
even
split custody.
Even if they mothers aren't not fit, it takes a lot to get the custody away from the mother.
Yes, it does.
Lord have mercy.
So if you want, it's Trey, and it's Trey, T-R-A-Y, and that is because he was the third. He was David the third, hence Trey.
I couldn't even get my parents to buy me a car, much less kill somebody for me. You know what I'm saying? Or to sign a loan for a car when I was like 20-something years old. I couldn't get my dad to co-sign a loan for me.
Well, they love their daughter and their grandson, I guess. And we're just going to...
I guess. And now look
But see, like, talk about not thinking it through. Like, okay, so now they're all rotten away in prison. And the plea agreements, I mean, I guess Chester really did, you know, swing the bat and make the final blows to end Trey's life. But they were all complicit in it. And the fact that a 4-year sentence, a 15-year sentence, and a 5-year sentence. Now, Chester is the only one serving life. I don't know. I have a little problem with that.
They all should have gotten maximum.
Well, more time than that. Oof. So, that was my story, Jen.
Small town. Not all small town people are bad, but come on. And what year was this again?
It was 2015.
So it was recent?
Yep.
So they had plenty of years to watch Unsolved Mysteries and Forensic Files and all sorts of stuff to even try to get away with it.
So I said they didn't even think it out. So, hey,
no,
let's go kill this guy in the driveway. Okay.
It was a rash, horribly planned.
And I think that the way that they...
That alone should have gotten him life. Come on. You didn't even try.
Right?
You didn't even make it hard.
Well, and I think that the police said that how they kind of did it is he was, you know, getting in the car, getting ready to go, and Heather shows up and he steps out and was like, what are you doing? Like, why? It's, 5:30 in the morning. Why are you at my house? And then the dad and Bert were lying in wait and jumped out and attacked him with a baseball bat.
Lord, that's horrible.
It is.
Poor guy.
It's,
And the poor child is left alone without any parents now. I mean, he's got his grandparents, but...
Just not the same, though, you know?
No.
Everybody needs a parent.
Unreal. So, unreal. Yeah.
All right, Jen, have you been watching anything good lately?
Watched the next couple episodes of American Horror Story. Those were good. I enjoyed the one that had Danny Trejo in it. I love him. The other one had Billy Lourdes, which, for those of you don't know, that's Princess Leia's daughter. That one was kind of fun. But no, I've been trying to read a little bit more. And, of course, running my kids everywhere to get ready to go to school. What about you?
Well, I watched this morning, and, you know, I just love bad stuff. It was the life story of Jackie Collins.
Oh, yeah.
It's brand new on Netflix. Check it out. You know, she was the predecessor to the 50 Shades of Grey writing. Uh-huh. And now, because people were just, flabbergasted that she, a woman, would write such graphic sex scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reading some of the sex scenes, and I'm like, seriously? That's not bad at all. But this was, you know, 1979, 1980, 85, in there.
Mm-hmm.
And very over the top. So, of course, now I want to read a few of them just because I think it's the glitz and glam of the 80s. So
I met Jackie Collins.
Did you? And was she nice?
She was so nice. We went to a book signing. With our friend Trent. And actually, when she's like, you know, who do I sign this to? And he's like, oh, it's to Trent. And she goes, oh my God, I love the name Trent. I'm going to put that in one of my books. And of course, we were booksellers then. So every time a new Jackie Collins book came out, Trent would run to the warehouse and go look to see if his name was in it.
Did it ever get in there? I wonder if it did.
I don't know. I have no idea. She died in 2015, but I mean, she was nice. She was like, she had on a bump it, you know, those things that you put in your hair to make your hair bigger and fuller.
A fall? Is that the same thing?
She had a bump it, and then there was more. Oh, she had a lot of hair pieces on to make that her, because her hair, she was everything that you would think Jackie Collins would be. Mm-hmm. That's who she was. I mean, darling, and I mean, she was over the top, and I loved every single minute of it.
I love it.
Yeah, she was fun. Just kind of,
and that was
she's at. I don't want to say tacky Hollywood, but just kind of. Mm-hmm. It was all for show, you know. It was all
over
for
the
show,
top,
and it and it was fabulous. I loved it. Yeah.
That was interesting. I think. So check it out.
I'll have to watch it. What was the name of it again?
It's a Jackie Collins. It pops up. It's brand new. So,
And that's on what channel?
Netflix.
Netflix.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you, I don't remember if I told you this, Jen, but if you know me, you know how I'm obsessed with TV, movies, and television, all that stuff. So I decided I'm going to save some money and I'm going to cancel some of these channels.
Oh, you can't do that.
I did, Jen, but here we go. You ready? So I go on my Amazon and I cancel HBO because I was like, and once in a while I'll stumble on something good on HBO, but usually I get it because there's a series and I want to watch. So I was like, I'm going to cancel that. So I cancel some other stuff. And then I was like, it occurred to me, Roku always charges me like $14.99 a month. I don't even know why. So I go on Roku. Yeah, I double ordered HBO. So I've been paying $30 for HBO twice instead of the $14.99. I know. I guess it's been a while.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. I
you just
issues.
Have to watch it twice as much.
Right? I mean, I don't mean to be mean, HBO, but it's not like it's Netflix or Amazon Prime, right? It's HBO. It's like one streaming channel, not a bunch. I'm something else. I'm a lot to handle.
Well, we tried to watch Suicide. Well, I should say I tried to watch Suicide Squad last night with my husband. He wanted to watch it. And I like those movies. I think they're fun. And Viola Davis, of course, is a phenomenal. You love to hate her. But when we first started watching it, I'm like, he had already eaten. So I'm like, I'm just going to go make me something. He's like, no, I'll pause it so you don't have to miss anything. And I'm like, trust me, I can see the TV from the kitchen and I can hear it. So go ahead. So he's like, no. You got to watch all of it. You got to watch. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I hurried up and made a sandwich and went to, you know, watch it. And then about 15 minutes later, my daughter, who was at a friend's house, is like, hey, could you come get me? And I'm like, sure. So I'm like, hey, Steve, I'm going to go get our daughter. And he's like, okay. He didn't pause that.
No, he did not.
He continued to watch it. Yeah.
What?
He continued to. I made a sandwich, Camille, from the kitchen, and he paused it.
Unbelievable.
But by the time I got back, it was like halfway through, and I'm like, never mind. So. But at the beginning, 15 minutes, I loved. I thought it was great. And Viola,
that's the one with Margie. What's her name?
Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie.
Mm-hmm. As Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And and Eldris.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. Trust me, he's a beautiful human being.
Yes, he is.
Lovely
that's
to
funny,
look
Jen.
At. Yeah. But so I watched a good 15, 20 minutes, maybe a half hour of Suicide Squad. And I really liked what I saw. So I'll have to go back and watch it. And I'll
have to watch it today or tomorrow or this week.
So far, the acting was really good. Pete Davidson had like a little cameo in it.
I really like Pete. I'm sorry. I don't know what all the hate is about. I just kind of like him because he's kind of like awkward. And like, we all know somebody like Pete Davidson. You know what I mean? Where they try really hard, but they're just kind of missing the mark a little bit. But then you still like him because of that. Mm-hmm. I like him. I really do.
Yep, Nathan Fillion's in it got a part in it, a small one. I mean, it's
interesting.
From what I've seen, I liked it. And I love Viola Davis. She was in How to Murder Someone. It was a TV show that was really good for the first season, at least. How to Get Away with Murder.
There you go. I was
and
trying to think of it.
She's a fantastic
actress. Yes, she is. She is. She really is.
But yeah, other than that, I finished up all the Fear Street, the three movies.
Oh,
they were
too.
Fine.
I didn't.
But other than that, I've just been trying to read. And I've discovered on TikTok that they have Book Talk, which is going to make me go poor.
Because they talk about good stuff. And then you're like, ooh, I'm going to buy
that. They're like, oh, you have to read this thriller, this book is blah, blah, blah. And then there's one guy that I follow that he's like, these are my favorite books. And his favorite books are a lot of my favorites.
So now you guys are a couple.
So yeah.
In space. We're up there. You know what I mean?
We're like in TikTok dating. He doesn't know it yet. Yeah.
That's okay.
And he's
you know
way
how many people I date
me.
And they don't know it?
No, I know. So now I'm like, my book list is getting larger by the minute.
Okay. Just what you need, more. That's okay.
More books. I know.
That's right.
But I love it. And it makes me really miss working at the book wholesalers where I used to get books for free because books are expensive.
They are expensive. And you use them. Wow. You generally just want
to read them. I know.
All right, Jen. I say we wrap this up and we will be in tune, in touch next week. But until then, remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya.
Today's episode was researched and written by me, Cam. For more information about this episode, as well as all the sources I used, please check out our show notes or the podcast website at ourtruecrimepodcast.com. Our True Crime Podcast is developed and created by hosts Jen and Cam. Original music and audio mix of all Our True Crime Podcast episodes is courtesy of Nico Vertese from We Talk of Dreams. Listener discretion is provided by Edward October from October Pod VHS. Our True Crime Podcast is executive produced by Nico Vertese and Dick Vain. Make sure to like and subscribe to Our True Crime Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. We can be reached on Instagram and Facebook at Our True Crime Podcast or on Twitter at Our True Crime Pod. You can email us at ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. If you really like the show, make sure to check out our Patreon at Our True Crime Podcast. Our True Crime Podcast is an OTC production.
He would always show.
Sorry, didn't mean to.
God dang
choked.
It, forget it. Just stop. I'm over. I'm done with this. After all, the small town of Haytai. Did you leave?
No, I just had to cough.
Do you have water?
I do, and that's what I think is stuck in my throat.
Do you have vodka in your water, Jen? Tell me the truth.
It's the only way I can put up with you, yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm going to take a drink while we're on break here. As Cooper arrived...
Sorry, Cooper, man.
What? Oh, my God. Devil,
know,
get
so
out
rude.
Of her!
All right. Sorry.
However, Billy, on that day, has a solid alibi, and it is corroborated. However, Billy has a solid alibi as he was with his mother on that day. Shut up!
I don't know why you keep on adding the word corroborated.
Corroborated.
Because in my head, say it, and then you always have to change it.
It makes me
That's the definition of insanity.
Smart.
Keep doing
know,
the same things
right?
over and over.
Corroborated. Corroborated. There we go. Is that right? Corroborated. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying it because I can't be called out for saying another thing wrong because that's all I ever do.
It happens. Whatever.
I can barely say.
Sorry.
God, if you're not coughing, you're laughing. Jesus. All right. Ready?
Oh, good job. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks. I'm smart. SMRT.
SMRT.
Now they're all starting to fart. Far.
Fart.
They're all, yeah.
They're all starting to fart.
Mm-hmm.
A little gassy after the murder.
Oh, Jim.